Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I guess I should have made this announcement a little earlier on. I've had different ones ask me and that, but we're going to be having service next Sunday. And I believe that what the true meaning of Christmas is about is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I couldn't think of any better place to celebrate that than in church. So we'll go ahead and have service, and then that'll still give you all, we don't preach so long anymore. So if we don't hold you in here too long, it'll give you plenty of time of the day yet to spend with your families and everything, I believe. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, we ask God that you will, Lord, be with us in this service as you visit us in the songs. I pray, dear God, may you now open the word to us. Lord, you know the needs of your people, Lord. You know what will encourage them. You know what will lift them up. And I pray, God, you'll anoint me, Lord, to speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. We want to continue to speak on the purpose of angels. Hebrews chapter 1, I want to begin reading at verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? You may be seated. Makes his ministers a flame of fire. If you got a pastor, God's made this way as a flame of fire. Now, not as charcoal, not as smoke, but fire. Every once in a while, you're gonna get burnt. Now, the purpose of angels. I believe that there are angels gathered right here with us this morning. I want to read something to you. This is speak to this mountain. Brother Ram says, Knowing we have passed from death into life, then that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us and around us and among us, and we are his people that's called by his name. And the angels are watching over us day and night. They never leave. They're encamped about. And we can expect God to do most anything at any time because of the presence of the angels of God who are commissioned by him to watch us and care for us. And now, Father, we pray the angels of God will take up their place tonight by the side of each believer all around throughout the building. May something be said or done that will cause this meeting to be a spot in our memories and in our hearts that we could remember all the days of our life for the outpouring of the glory of God tonight. So I believe every time we gather, I believe there's angels that take up their posts beside each person. I believe that wherever the people of God are gathered, it is a special place to God. And if it's a special place to God, then it's a special place to his host of angels. God knew that man was going to need the influence of angels. And we know that it was a fallen angel that influenced man and caused him to fall. But I believe in our restoration that which was purchased for us by Jesus Christ, that there will be angels that will be influencing the elect of God to bring them to their proper place. Now, the visitation of angels in the Old Testament wasn't not always to prophets and dreamers. There were many times it was given to wasn't even great people of the day. But it was people that God wanted to use for a purpose. And sometimes their lives needed an angelic visitation in order to bring them in line with their birth path. And I believe that God, the angels of God, you each have an angel, and his job is to bring you in line with your birth path. As Brother Bram said, the signs you were born under, the stars you were born under, all that has a meaning and it has an influence on you. And said the angels are there to bring you in line with your birth path. Now, if God, however he done it in the Old Testament, I believe God desires to send angels among us today. And not conjuring up something or trying to make up something spiritual, but I believe if we're genuine and real, then I believe we wouldn't need to make up anything anyway. That there's angels there. And now, how many of you remembers Hagar? Hagar was the servant of Sarah in the Old Testament, and she received a visitation from an angel. She was nobody special. She wasn't a prophetess. She wasn't a dreamer. She wasn't no great person. But yet, she needed a visitation from an angel in order to tell her to go back to to Sarah and do whatsoever she asked of you. You remember there was two angels that went down to Sodom and pulled Lot and his family out of there. Both of these visitations were visitations of angels to people that were not among the elect group. So, but yet, though they were not among the elect group, something about them had some way touched those people that were among the elect. Hagar obeying the angel, even though she wasn't elect, her obeying the angel then affected Sarah. I believe that there's times when in this world you go somewhere. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, I was being audited by the IRS, and I went to the bank up here in Dixon, and I needed some different documents, things printed out of deposits that had been made into my account, certain checks and so on, so I could show what they was from. And normally, and they even got signs up, they charge you for that. But she found out what I needed it for, and she said, no, there's no charge. She said her father had been audited several times, but I believe there was an angel there to influence her to not charge me for that. I believe there's times like that. People that where you're at, they do something. They're kind. They do something kind to you, do something that you really need. They go out of their way. And sometimes it's not just the nature of the person, but sometimes there's angels influencing those things. Turn with me into 1 Chronicles chapter 21. First Chronicles chapter 21, I want to begin reading at verse 15. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him from the evil, and said to the angel that destroyeth it, it is enough. stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ormon the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad, and Gad was a seer, a prophet in the time of David, that he first appeared when David was joined in the hold, and then he reappears in connection with the punishment here for taking the census. So the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ormon the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of God, which he spake in the name of the Lord. Now go down to verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword again in the sheath thereof. Now, the Bible says it was, in verse 12, it says it was 3 days that this pestilence were upon the people. Now, David saw, was able to see this angel of the Lord, and he was able to actually see a sword that was drawn. But the angel wasn't going about hitting people with the sword, but because he stretched his sword over the city, then by supernatural, the sword then brought about the pestilence among the people. But then after David prayed and God told him, told the angel, that's enough, and he then took and sheathed his sword again. Now all these were things that David was able to see because God allowed him to see into that supernatural realm. We may never in this life see into that supernatural realm, but one day we will see it because we'll be part of that realm. But I want you to know that according to the scripture, and that you believe that angels, this is the way angels are. This is the way it is. These ain't fairy tales or just stories. There is actual angels that have actual swords. Now, you remember in the time when Abraham was going to send his servant Eliezer to get a wife for his son Isaac. And he told him, you can read about it in Genesis chapter 24, but Abraham told his servant, he said, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now, Brother Ram says this in time of decision. He says, and it was in the evening time when he came to the well near the city. And it was about the time Rebekah had to make a decision. I believe the angel of the Lord beat Eliezer there by a half hour. For he sent his angels before you. Then that makes the way clear. And it must have been the angel of God that spoke to Rebekah's heart and said, "Go get some water." And when Rebecca came to the water of life at the evening time, you get the picture? It's the church in the last days, the evening time. The evening lights are here. It's the time that the angel of the Lord in a supernatural is revealing himself to the Rebecca, the bride of Isaac. Somehow or another, she's moved to go to the water of life. Oh, my heart is turning over with joy. I can hardly preach when I think of that. The evening time has come. The angels of the Lord in the message goes forth and woos the Rebecca to come to the waters of life, moving of the supernatural. Eliezer started to pray, oh God, let something supernatural happen. Oh my, you sent your angel before me, now let him do something. I know he's gone before me, and let the woman that comes give me a drink out of the pitcher and also water my camels without asking. Let that be the one. And he no more said it until Rebecca come. God's right on the dot. No more than your heart goes to hungering and thirsting for God, some kind of a Holy Ghost revival will break out somewhere. Something will take place. A neighbor will get healed and come and tell you about it. Something will take place to let you see that the angel of the Lord is a-moving. So why did Rebecca make the sudden move? Why did she go to the waters of life so quickly? Why could the angel speak to her? Because she was blood relation to Isaac. And that's who the angel can speak to tonight, is a blood relative. By the blood, we are born into the body of Christ. And the bride of Jesus Christ is sanctified through the blood of Christ and an open vessel for the Holy Spirit to speak to. No wonder she'll come to the waters of life. He that heareth, let him come to the waters of life freely. So it said the angel beat Eliezer there, he said, by about 30 minutes and began to move because he had said he would go before him and make the way and begin to move on Rebecca so that these two would meet each other there at that well at that time. That he no sooner got there and prayed, by the time he was getting ready to pray, she already knew she was going to the well. Because the angel went before him and was preparing the way. God sends his angels before you many times. Especially if you're getting ready to face a certain situation and you go to prayer before God before you go there. And you ask for God to be merciful. I'll tell you what, the angels of God go before you to prepare the way for you. Genesis 31, some of these I'll just read to you so we can save a little time. But Genesis 31, if you want to write it down, verse 11 through 12. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-staked and speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doth unto thee. Now here was an angel that came to Jacob, and he was interested in Jacob's natural possessions. Sometimes we think they're only interested in the spiritual part about us. You ever meet people go around and all the time trying to be spiritual? You don't have to go around trying to be spiritual all the time. This angel was interested in his natural possessions. The more so because when you read down into verse 24, that angel came and warned Laban against doing anything against Jacob. In Genesis 32, 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now, this is after he had left Laban, after he'd left with his cattle and so on. And he went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Machanaim, which means two camps. Here he come to a place and God's camp and Jacob's camp converged. And when it converged, it brought about a change, a name in that place. I believe that when God's camp and Jacob's camp got together, it brought about the renaming of that place. And this church of Dixon one time was a depressing place. One time there was people, and I don't make these things up, as people said things to me about it, made sure I got warned right after I first got here. Some people say, well, it's a cursed church. Another preacher said, it's a graveyard for preachers. I was in the presence of some men one time, and somebody brought, and I had never been here before, and somebody brought up something about the church in Dixon, and they all started laughing. It's the truth. But God's camp has met down with this camp, and it's changed this place. This place is not a place of depression anymore. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or anybody else says, we know that the presence of God has come down and God has done definite works within among the believers here. God's done works in your life. God has changed things. He's opened up our understanding to many things. One time, an angel of God came down between two camps. One was the camp of Egypt and the other was the camp of Israel. And the angel of God come down and stood between the two camps because those two camps were not going to converge. The angels come to give direction, answers, assistance, blessings, judgment, bring separation. Angels are ministering spirits. And they've never been rulers. Angels have never been rulers. They never will be rulers. Yet Paul speaks about in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he speaks about, he's speaking about the fallen angels. And they came not to, they're not there to minister to you. They're there to rule. Remember Brother Branham preached the message, God of this evil age? Who's the God of this earth? Satan. He's the God of how this world is today. He's the God of this world. He rules over this world. Remember when Jesus, when he came to him to tempt him, and he said, all this is mine. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. Jesus never refuted what he said. He never said, no, it's not yours. Because he knew Satan took it because of the fall of man. Angels are servants. God made us to be rulers. Did you know that if you're asking something of God today, if you were asking something of God and there was an angel of God that was also at the same time asking something of God, do you know that your prayer would go a million times higher than that angel's? That's what the prophet said. I'll read it to you later on. Angels can bring a message from God, but it takes you and I to act on the word. Now, I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6. And while you're turning, This man that we're going to read about here, Gideon, he needed an angelic visitation to awaken a supernatural imparting that God had put in him. He was called by God, chosen to be a leader, but he didn't know it. And he had no self-confidence, no positive opinion of himself or his abilities. But the angel of the Lord was able to awaken that which God had previously deposited within him. Let's read in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abuzite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now here's this man, he's hiding. Because every time they harvest something, the Midianites would come down and take it. So he's harvesting wheat and he's hiding with it so that they won't see it. Here he is hiding and an angel comes to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. And it awakened something within Gideon that God had previously deposited. It was God that sent that angel down there. The angel wasn't telling a lie. But it was God that sent the angel, and he said, now when you go there, you say, thou mighty man of valor. And it'll awaken within Gideon the very supernatural gift that I have deposited in his life to bring about a victory for my people. You remember Elijah? I want to read something to you. Brother Branham says about Elijah, you know, after he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal and then ran and hid. Brother Branham says, but Elijah was weary. He was feeling blue. And then Jezebel put this threat that almost throwed him into a nervous breakdown. You see, some people think that God's prophet ought to be continually bombarding away all the time, but God wants them to come aside. You know, a lot of people think that the prophet ought to be like a rocket. Well, if he goes like a rocket, he'll soon fall like a rock too. Now, the Bible says in 1 Kings 19, it says, as Elijah laid there under the juniper tree, that an angel came and touched him. And an angel came and ministered to him, and that angel touched him. And when he awoke, there was a cake baked for him there on the coals. Brother Branham says this, and there was a cruse of water at his head. Brother Branham says, I'd imagine on every limb all around through the place was swarms of angels. And God came down and he said, my poor little tired servant, he's so nervous and tore up. You know how the devil, when you get that way, the devil turns around and says, now look at you. What in the world God want anything to do, ask you to do anything? Look at you. You're a miserable failure. Why, if you had any faith, you wouldn't be feeling this way. Well, I don't know if he's ever talked to you that way, but I know he has me. He's so nervous and tore up, but this is how God feels about it. This is how God really feels about it. He says, he comes down and he says, my poor little tired servant, he's so nervous and tore up, he don't know what to do. I want to pick out the angel standing here that's got the softest hands. Don't scare him. Walk over and stroke his brow right easy. And I want the best cook among you to go there and get all the vitamins you can and put in this cornmeal. And the world's turned him down, but I'm going to treat him right. hallelujah. That means praise our God. Don't be scared of that. Bring forth the best we got. Cook him a corn cake and set him down some water. And this soft-handed angel went over and stroked the little servant of God on the brow. Remember, if you've done your best, God still got those angels in order. He loves you just the same as he loved Elijah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now in Hebrews chapter 1, if you will turn back there with me. Hebrews chapter 1, I want to read verse 13. But to which the angel said, he at any time sit on my right hand until I've made thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, ministering spirits to perform a service for someone is what ministering means, to perform a service for someone, to one that's employed to execute the will of God. Now, you say, you ask, Brother Jared, not only does he give me the Holy Ghost, but you mean to tell me there's myriads of angels around about me? Yes, that's true. And they're sent to minister to you. Why? Many times, you could minister to someone, myself or someone else, by God laying on your heart, say, send them a card. Or give them a call and encourage them. And the Lord move on you to do that, and that'd be ministering to them. But there's sometimes when the person is down so low that it takes a visitation from an angel. Not something necessarily that you see, but a presence that comes and brings comfort to you, brings encouragement to you. And it does it in a supernatural way. So, according to this, I want to just read this verse 14 again. And they are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? What are they trying to do? The angels are trying to, in their ministering, is trying to bring us to our inheritance. Heirs of salvation are trying to bring us to our inheritance. God anoints his prophet to bring the word to every age. Then he anoints ministers to come and take that same word and preach that same thing. Then God sends myriads of angels among his people that are all around about the believers of that age to minister unto them, sometimes healing. This, you can find this in a couple places. Brother Bram talks about it. One place is, it's called the Second Miracle. And it was preached in Erie, Pennsylvania in 1951. And he talks here and he said, the woman was saying to him, brother, it went on for weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, still nothing happened. And she just kept believing and she wouldn't give up. And one morning she tried to eat some toast. Now, this is somebody who had been in the prayer line and Brother Graham had prayed for her and told her, go your way, you're well. And she tried to eat some toast. She couldn't, this woman couldn't eat anything. Anything she eat, she'd just bring it right back up. And she tried to eat some toast and said how her stomach burned her until she could hardly stand it. And she was crying by the window, washing dishes and crying. While she was crying, a real cool feeling come over her. She said, well, something. and she tried to wash dishes. She got so nervous, she turned around and said her stomach was just as cool. And while she was standing there, said the sweetest feeling came over me I ever felt in my life. And all the burning let up and the swelling without belching, and it left me. And I reached over and got a piece of orange, which usually upset me terribly, on the table and began to eat it. And when it went down, it didn't burn. And she ate some oats that had been left there, and it didn't bother her. So she drank a cup of coffee, which she hadn't been able to for a long time, and it didn't bother her. She was so happy, she run down the street a ways to her neighbor to tell her neighbor about what had been in the meeting too. And the neighbor had also been pronounced was going to be healed. And she was going to tell her neighbor not to be discouraged because it had happened. The neighbor had a big growth on her neck. And she found the neighbor down in the floor screaming at the top of her voice. The growth had just left her a few minutes before that. And you know what it was? It was the angel of the Lord passing through the neighborhood of those things he had pronounced. If he pronounces it, it's his obligation, not mine or yours. It's your obligation to keep on believing. It's my obligation to stay here and work for him. It's your obligation to believe what he tells you, and God will bring it to pass. He says again, and the angel of the Lord preached in Cornersville, Indiana, says, the angel of the Lord, after he knew them blessings was pronounced, he passed through the neighborhood confirming the word. He says again in Angel of God preaching Toledo, Ohio, it was the angel of God passing through the neighborhood. His blessings had been pronounced. Sometimes they can't get you just as you wish. How many remembers when Daniel, the angel, come to him and said 21 days he had been withstood? You remember that? Daniel prayed, but the angel said he had trouble there and couldn't get to him for 21 days after he'd made the prayer. So don't be in a hurry. Just believe, have faith. And if you accept Jesus tonight as your healer, have faith. It's got to come too. You remember the story in the Bible about the man laid by the pool of Bethesda. And there was an angel that would come. And when the angel come and stirred the waters, then whoever was the first one in the waters was healed of all of his diseases, the Bible said. It was an angel God sent to do it. Now, angels are employed to further the salvation of God's people and to aid them in their journey to heaven. It's a divine administration of one class of God's creation to another class of God's creation to assist and aid in trouble. Now, this man was influenced by a fallen angel that brought about the fall. If a fallen angel can have that kind of influence, think about the influence that an angel of God that stayed true to God, think about the influence they could have on man. Just because some of the angels fell didn't mean all the angels are bad. That's the way it is with God's preachers too. Some people say, well, all I've ever known is preachers to do this and that and the other bad preachers. Well, if there's some bad ones, there are some good ones. There's some good ones. You know what? I had a someone come to me some years ago and was telling me how much harm and hurt had been done to them by preachers. And told me, said, it's got so bad, said, I don't feel like I can hardly even trust preachers. And I said, well, that's really something, sister. I said, because there's been so many things happen to my family that's been done by people that I got to a place where I didn't trust people. And so God had to work on me to where I'd get to where I'd trust people again. So God can work on them where they'll get where they'll trust God's chosen real ministers again. Amen. An angel in the three pools. Brother Ram says, now angels has always been ministering spirits that sent to the church. Is that right? All through the apostolic age, they had ministering angels that went with the apostles. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 5 says this, for unto the angels hath he put in subjection, excuse me, read this again. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. So he hasn't, the world that is to come, the angels, it's not subject to them. God has made it subject to us. The angels will not be rulers or magistrates in the time of the millennium, but God's elect will be. Angels will not be sitting on behind the judgment bar judging the people that come up in the white throne judgment. That will be the saints of God. An angel of God, Phoenix, Arizona, 1948, Brother Ram says, we unworthy mortals have been brought in to be sons and daughters of God, to be fellow citizens. Oh my, I get to shouting when I get. Notice, in that realm where even angels can't come. Say, angels? Yes, sir. We're sons and daughters. Angels are servants. That's right. The servants cannot go where the sons and daughters will go. They can't enter into that relationship, for they're servants. And we're sons and daughters. If you have ever at one time in your life ever raised your hand in a service and felt the Spirit of God flow down over you and envelop you, you have entered into a realm that the angels can't enter. If you felt the Holy Ghost on you and in you, that is a realm that the angels know nothing about. The angels don't know what it's like to be redeemed. Christ never died and shed his blood to redeem angels. He shed his blood to redeem you and me. The angels don't even know what redemption. They don't understand it like you and I. We lift up our hands and we thank God for saving us and delivering us from the sin and the things that we were in. And to know that feeling to where you feel so unworthy and yet you know God has set you free.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Angels don't know that. Remember, there's a song that says something about the angels can't sing this song. This is in Questions and Answers, COD book. Brother Ram says, what is it? An angel's a servant. We're sons and daughters. Which is the most thought of, your servant or your son or daughter? Oh my, prayer from a saint will go a million times higher than an angel's because he's a son. That's right, brother. The church, I don't believe this side of eternity, how will ever realize what you are, the position you are, that God has placed you, And you spirit-filled people, you're sons of God and daughters. Why, angel's a servant. You're a son. An angel can only bring you a message, but you have to act on it. You're the actor on the scene. You're the son. The angels are the servants to bring you the message. Brother Branham speaks about, this is in, you can find this in Manifestation of the Spirit, preached in Toledo, Ohio, in 51. Brother Branham talks about the angel of the Lord, the first time the angel of the Lord came to him and appeared to him, and he said, it was a man about 6 foot tall, weighed 200 pounds, he said, about. He said he just stepped out into the light like that, and he saw him. And that angel began to speak to Brother Branham and told him that what he was commissioned to do and what he would do in his ministry. And he said, you've been sent to pray for the sick. And Brother Branham, as the angel talked to Brother Branham said that I'm not able. Well, I'm unlearned. And I'm not able to do this, what you're asking. And the angel said, as Moses was given two signs, you shall be given two signs. And he said, one would be the miracles, and the other would be you would know the very thoughts of the people's hearts. Now, the angel couldn't pick up the Bible and go down there and do that. What God was ordaining Brother Branham to do, the angel couldn't go do it. All he could do was bring the message to Brother Branham. Brother Branham was the one that had to go out then and do it and perform it. The angel was never permitted to have a prayer line or anoint the sick. God used the agency of man. I love that. One messenger, Brother Branham says, he could have used anything. He could have used the stars. He could have used the moon. He could have used angels. He could have used anything, but he chose man to preach the gospel. God, you imagine God saying, I'm going to take some of these liars and drunks and whoremongers, and I'm going to save them. And after I save them, then you angels, I'm going to send y'all down there to watch over and care for them and minister to them, people. I'm going to send you holy angels down there to watch over and care for a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Praise the Lord. Imagine an angel come to you and saying, listen, Father sent me down here to tell you that you're to do certain thing and act this out. And you would say to the angel, me? Why don't you do it? And the angel, you'd say, you could tell the angel, well, you've never lied. You've never sinned. You've never done anything wrong. Why can't you do it? And the angel says, no, all I am is a messenger sent from the Father to come down and tell you you're the one God's chosen to do it. Sometimes we think that God only does that with preachers or prophets or whatever, and that's not true. God has called each and every one of you for a purpose, and your purpose in this life, it to be served out, you'll be helped by angels to bring that purpose for you to fulfill the purpose God sent you here for. Angel, I have no doubt, would tell you, don't worry, I'll be with you. He sent me to bring you the message, but also sent me to stay with you. Oh, I tell you, friends, if we could only... I think when I read these things, I think if I could only catch one glimpse into that supernatural realm. When Brother Branham said he sent angels down, he says, and they take up their places, beside each believer, and that this is a prophet that could see into that realm. Can you imagine what he saw? He could see those evil spirits as they would raise up dark shadows hanging over people. And he could see them and hear them. He could even hear them. So it's no wonder he would know there was angels standing there encouraging people to believe. Because he could see into that realm. My, oh my. Whew. I don't know if I could hold it together if I ever got to see that in this body that I'm in now. I tell you, just thinking about it gets me thrilled. Why? Because God cares that much. He cares that much for his people that he has sent angelic beings to watch over you from the time of your birth. From the time you're born, there is an angel, a guardian angel, is sent there to watch over you. Many times you look and you wonder, you say, well, when I was such and such an age, this or that happened to me, I almost died. Why didn't you? Because God had a guardian angel there and it wasn't your time to die. Many times you look and say, before I come to Christ, I was going to do a certain something, but something held me back from going that far. What was it? God has an angel there that's been with you since your birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how much God cares about us. Amen. Revelation Book of Symbols 56, Brother Ram says, wouldn't you like to live where you're conscious that the unseen world's right with you all the time? To realize when you walk out here and get in your car, angels take their positions to the side of you. The Holy Spirit's standing right above you and angels all around you. When you go out there to get in your car, my mom used to tease my dad. My dad, you know, used to have kind of a lead foot. And I don't know how many tickets he got getting pulled over. And one time he got pulled over and he asked the man, he said, all these other ones out here going the same speed, how come you didn't get them? And the man told him, said, you was the only one I could catch. Mom teased him and said, Your guardian angel has to really do something to keep up with you. When you go walk out there and get in your car, angels take up their position beside you. The Holy Spirit's standing right above you and the angels all around you. Say, is that right, Brother Branham? The Bible said so. Angels are camped about those. They don't go back to heaven. They camp there. They're sent on a mission to watch you throughout your life's journey. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Now, angels are not promised to everyone. Only the redeemed. The elect, the redeemable, the ones that... Or the elect are the ones that an angel is promised to be with them from the time of their birth all the way through their life's journey. Now, I showed you where an angel can give a visitation to somebody who's not elect, like it did Hagar, like it did with Lot and his family. But there's a difference between... As we went through speaking about election, you can see that there is a difference. Luke 15 and 10, I'm going to close. Luke 15 and 10 said, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. No doubt God lets them know, I'm getting ready to call one of mine. And I'm going to send you all down there. Now, I want you to notice this. There's an angel, a guardian angel is placed there from the time you're born. But that's not the only angel that will ever have an influence and effect in your life. Once you're saved, then these other angels that are there, let me put it to you this way. God called me and placed a gift within my life. I ran from it for some time, but then something got to stirring to where the word of God became like fire in my bones. It became like I felt like I was going to explode. I had to get it out. If there would have been nobody for me to preach, then there would have been no outlet for that gift. But that gift isn't for me. That gift is for the people of God. God called me to be your servant and placed that gift there, and that gift's for you. I don't dig through these things in the scriptures and all that so that I can say, well, look what a big man I am. No, I do all this for you. I spend time doing this for you. Hallelujah. Because, friends, I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. And if there was no one for me to minister to, then there would just lay that gift. So here's angels, like the angels that came to Elijah. The one with soft hands, the best cook. And they've got gifts within their lives, certain things that they are to minister unto God's people. But they can't minister those things until God's people come to God. Until you left the world and came and were saved and dedicated your life to God, then those angels, God could send them and say, now go down there and minister to my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They come to the instruments. I've got some more messages to preach on this. And I hope you've enjoyed this. We go through, we dig up things that Brother Branham said concerning the angels and so forth, and look into the scriptures and see many scriptures that we have read before and read over, and yet then come to see it line up and see just how much the angels have a part within our lives. Isn't that something? That they're not just, it's not just something you read about and say, well, an angel come visit Brother Branham. You might not receive a visitation like that, but there are still angels that come to minister to you.
Saw that it's supposed to rain, and so I know a lot of people were was going to rain, and it rained a little bit. Rained a little bit in the night, but not enough. It can make a mess in the fields, you know.
Yeah.
When the parking there, we've had it terrible already. But anyhow, they had a good sale. And people even in the morning called him up and said, are you going to have this sale? It's going to rain. And he said, yes, we're going to have it. And anyhow, the Lord had mercy on us.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And I had to work. I had about a half a day. We had to do inventory. But we went over, Susan went over before, and we went over afterwards. And it turned out to be a good sale. It just only gave the Lord.
Amen. Pray for me. Usually from one Christmas to the next, I know what I'm preaching for Christmas message. Well, I haven't been had anything pressed on me, hadn't been real sure. I think I got a little bit of a spark today, and I skipped over a page in my notes. And I thought I would hold that page back. That may be where God will take me from to preach a Christmas message. And I don't do that as a tradition. I do it because I know the people look forward to it, and it's a good time for us to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so just pray for me for the next Sunday coming up, and hopefully we look forward to hearing from the Lord in the Christmas message.
Let's everyone stand. Think about his love.
Think about his love. Think about his love.
Children go to the Sunday school after we dismiss. So, except Brother Gene dismisses us.